Part 5, 10207 AG, 2 months after the end of Muad'Dib's reign. Knowledge is an impotent thing if a person refuses to believe. Bene Gesserit Axiom. By the time Jessica finished her story and glanced back at the moonlit silhouette of the landed thopter, both Irulan and Gurney were deeply shaken. For the past 7 years, that hidden knowledge had weighed like cold lead inside of Jessica. She had paid a terrible price. Even after so much time had passed, the pain still burned deeply. To this day, Bronsoevix continued to pay his share of the price, doing what Paul had asked him to do, even while the hounds of Aaliyah pursued him, even while the populace reviled him for the truths he exposed. A secret shared is a burden shared, but the weight can still be crushing. Gurney hung his head.
Ah, my lady, all these years.
I feel like a fool for not having guessed, for some of the things I said to you, which made your pain even heavier and more lonely. His scar looked like a dark line of blood in the light of the two moons. I understand war, and I thought I knew the logical reasons for what you did to those 10 ringleaders. But even so, I didn't understand it all. I was bound by my oath to House Atreides, and to you. Now at last I comprehend all of what you are doing, and why. But it isn't easy knowledge to have. I sacrificed a great deal for Paul. Something of my humanity, perhaps, but the options before me were difficult. Jessica led them back toward the thopter, knowing it was time to go. They could only cover up their secret meeting for a short while before Aaliyah would grow suspicious. She paused before they reached the ornithopter, still wary that there might be listening devices hidden inside, despite the precautions they had taken. Now you understand why I had to speak of these things away from the Citadel. The Kizara Tafweed would call it blasphemy and execute me before I could tell anyone else. And they would kill you for what you know. I'm not sure Aaliyah would try to stop them. She doesn't recognize what she owes me, or Bronso. What could Aaliyah possibly owe Bronso? Irulan asked. Jessica smiled. He is the one who revealed to me the plot of Aaliyah's priests, Izbar's intention of assassinating her and Duncan during their wedding. She doesn't know she owes him her life. Gurney's eyes grew large.
Bronso was your secret source, your spy in the Citadel.
He wasn't actually there, but Ixians have their ways of collecting information. Rest assured, he doesn't have any personal vendetta against Aaliyah. He only wants to spread the real story about Paul. Gurney's features looked sallow in the starlight.
Oh, I wish I had brought my Balisette along. Since now is the time for a long, sad song.
Jessica drew a deep breath.
Even though some of his harshest criticisms are as wildly untrue as the glorifications Aaliyah once written, Bronso still serves a vital purpose and must be allowed to continue. It's a purpose that Paul himself asked him to take on, to counterbalance the things done in his name, a necessary weakening of the too powerful bureaucracy and the priesthood that he could not defeat any other way. Paul saw only danger ahead if his myth grew even more out of control.
Her voice hitched.
Bronso of Ix is the only hope I have of keeping my son human instead of letting him be reduced to a legend.
Over the years, Princess Irulan had taken a great deal of offense at Bronso's writings because they directly clashed with her version of history. But now she wrestled with the reality, obviously finding it difficult to accept the hard truth.
If I believe you that Paul requested this himself, Lady Jessica, then you're placing me in an impossible situation. Paul's wishes are utterly incompatible with what Aaliyah wants me to write about him. And where does your true loyalty lie? After opening herself, Jessica felt empty and naked before her fellow Bene Gesserit sister, her daughter-in-law. Won't you protect Paul and what he wanted for his legacy? In the low light, Irulan's face was distraught. Would Aaliyah let me? That is not a simple question. There are already too many people who think that the daughter of Shaddam Carino is more threat than benefit to the Regency. Aaliyah could have me executed for not cooperating, or she might send me away to Seleucus Secundus and never let me see Paul's children again. Jessica was a bit surprised by this last statement. They are not your children. They are Paul's. And I loved him. Finally reaching the thopter, they climbed in silently, each of them deep in thought. The interior of the cabin glowed with greenish light from the craft's standby control panel. Looking out glumly, Jessica saw that first moon was just setting into the rugged horizon. Beside her, Gurney reactivated the systems, prepared to take off. One of the panels on the console sent a signal, and he reacted quickly, gazing out through the curved cockpit window, scanning the starry skies. Searchers are out there, trying to find us. They've locked on to our locator beacon. Already? Irulan said. C.H. Tabur could not have reported us overdue or missing yet. Even though we switched thopters, Aaliyah's men could have been tracking us ever since we left Erekin, Jessica said. When we dropped off their screens, searchers would have been dispatched immediately. She pointed to approaching lights in the distance. Gurney worked the controls, pushing his emotions aside and focusing his mind on the ornithopter, running through a checklist. All business. Time to fix our little mechanical problem, then. He activated the comm, took up the microphone, and spoke brusquely into it. This is Gurney Halleck, pilot of Imperial Flight 665 Alpha. Sorry if we caused you a concern. We needed to set down to adjust an unbalanced rotor and fix a stabilizing linkage. A voice crackled back. Do you require assistance? No, it's just a minor inconvenience. Nothing a good field mechanic couldn't handle. Both passengers are fine. He powered up the engines, set the wings in motion. We're on our way. We warned you against taking one of the thopters that had not been approved for your use, the voice said. Gurney looked meaningfully at Jessica, then picked up the transmitter. I'll remember that next time. No harm done. Jessica and Irulan sat in silence as the thopter lifted off from the rock outcropping into the empty moonlit sky. In a matter of moments, the focused lights of search thopters swirled around them like the luminous night insects in a Caladan marsh. We will escort you safely to C.H. Tabur, transmitted one of the thopter pilots. Gurney thanked them as they flew together over the harsh desert.